Hello, I am Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. And today Hi, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
Today we're talking about Mass Effect, the other BioWare game.
The other BioWare dating sim?
Yes, basically. Before we dive into that, though, I have some news for you, okay?
Got some news for me?
Got some news for you. Tatsumi Kimishima, the current president of Nintendo, he took over when Iwata passed away a few years back. Very sad times. He has announced his resignation, and he is going to be replaced by Shuntaro Furukawa.
Is he just retiring?
Yes.
Okay.
He's 62 years old, I believe. Which was a bit old to be elected as CEO for something, at least in Japan.
Yeah.
Now, Furukawa, he's 42. He's more around Iwata's age, or, yeah, approximate age. And he's been with the company since 1994.
Wow.
He's a very dedicated, I think he's a very good fit. We'll see how things go. But that's happening. 15 PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds hack developers have been sued and arrested.
What are hack developers?
You know how there's people who cheat at video games?
Yeah.
They usually use software. Mm-hmm. They don't actually break into the code and do it themselves. They find a program where somebody does it for them. These people made that software.
Okay.
Problem is, I hate how this is going about in the news, because all of the places are saying, oh, PUBG hackers are getting arrested. Technically correct, but technically not. These are developers of a PUBG hack that are being arrested. And they're being arrested not because they're cheating at video games.
But, yeah, imagine.
But because they put malware in their hack.
Yeah.
So they're infecting people's computer with a Trojan virus. That's why they're getting arrested.
Yeah.
Not because they're cheating at a video
game. You don't get arrested for that. You might get kicked off the video game, but...
But of course, that's what the news outlets are making it sound like.
Yeah.
Because that's sensationalism. Next bit. Stardew Valley had its almost multiplayer update. I say almost because it's in a beta that you have to opt in for.
Yeah, except they give you the password right there in the...
Oh yeah, they want people to try it out. They want to fix all the bugs and whatnot. But it's not something they already pushed out to regular people or consoles, for example.
I just opened up the beta for myself, so I'm going to figure that out later after we go grocery shopping.
They have been teasing us hard on this update. So hard.
Honestly, yeah.
Blueberry balling.
I got Stardew Valley less than a year ago, probably. I don't think it was a full year ago.
I don't quite think, no.
But when I got it, my brother was like, oh yeah, they're going to have multiplayer. And then we kept waiting. And finally, it's here.
It's not even technically here.
I need to see how it works, because I really hope that... Because apparently you can do it with your previous saves.
I don't fully understand it, but the new people are considered farm hands.
Okay, so you can show them your farm.
So the players that you play with, they're like a host person, their host farm. The players you play with, I think they have like their own little area on the farm.
Oh.
They can do their own thing. They can get married to your NPCs if they wanted.
Cool.
You can get married to them if you want it.
Will you?
You can marry your multiplayer companion.
Will you get Stardew Valley and then marry
my
avatar?
Probably not.
Why?
Last bit of news.
No, don't move on
no,
from this.
No, it's super important news. The world needs to know. Remember the whole Fortnite comet
thing? Yes, I was wondering if you're going to follow up on this.
Yes, it happened now. Not May 4th,
okay.
Turns out. It was May, however. I think it was season 4.
Okay.
Because today's May 2nd. Yesterday, May 1st, they announced season 4 of Fortnite, which is kind of like a 80s sci-fi theme, like the terrors from space.
Oh, it's a
like it
starts laserpunk.
Laserpunk. That's not a bad example. The comet has crashed. It has not crashed on the tilted towers. It crashed in a different area called, like, the Dusty Depot, which was just a warehouse zone, which is now referred to as the Dusty Divot because it's a giant crater.
Yeah.
And...
Well, then what was the whole Tilted Towers thing about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know there. That one threw me
off. Red herring.
But, yeah, they announced Season 4 of Fortnite, and they did so with a trailer. This trailer was... Some people, you know, playing the game, one guy was watching an old sci-fi movie at a drive-in, and comets start crashing down, and then one giant one slams into the ground, people come and look at it, and it's just this glowing rock, and then it just cracks, and it cuts.
It's an egg.
So it seems to be some kind of, like, yeah, old sci-fi theme going on.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what it was. I knew it. It was announcing season 4.
Cool. You got it right.
Yay. Accolades to me. No one cares.
Congratulations.
Enough news. We have Mass Effect.
Yes.
Tell me about Mass Effect.
Mass Effect is a game about alien friends.
That is true. And alien not friends. Enemies, some might even say.
Alien enemies. What about frenemies? Some of them are alien frenemies.
Some of them, there's like this awkward tension. Like, you think you're kind of bonding, but you can't tell if they're, like, their rigid nature is because they're a dick or if they're...
Are you talking about Garrus?
No, oh. I'm just being generalized. But yes, Garrus, actually. No, Garrus wasn't really that bad to me. I mean, he was a bro.
No, he's not a...
He's alien bro to me.
He's everyone's alien bro. Actually, I get yelled at a lot because everyone's favorite person to romance is Garrus, but he's my bud. Like, I don't feel like romancing him.
Right? I don't want... Are we going to have to put a content warning on this one?
We'll see.
That's fair. Because I don't want to romantically involve myself with Garrus. I just want to, like, hang out with
him. I like being sniper buddies.
Tell him about my day, and he'll be, and his only response would be like, rough, man. But in, like, Garrus'
Are these
voice.
your fantasies about hanging out with Garrus?
Yeah. Long day. You just kind of hang out, talk.
That's exactly how you're supposed to play Mass Effect.
Don't got to say much, but you understand each other just fine.
But, yes, Mass Effect. There's the Mass Effect trilogy, and then there's Mass Effect Andromeda, which came out last year in March, I believe.
I remember this.
And the first three Mass Effects can basically be summed up with Mass Effect 1. Oh, guys, there's these things called Reapers. No, Shepard, that's ridiculous. Mass Effect 2. No, guys, really, Reapers. No, Shepard, that's ridiculous. Mass Effect 3. Shepard, there's Reapers! And you basically are the mom of the galaxy having to clean up everyone's mess.
So, one thing I liked about this game, which... It's they do this in other games, but, like, this is where I saw it first, I suppose, is that you can be male or female and still have the same name.
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever you're in an RPG where you can customize your character, they basically refer to you in a vague way all the time.
Yes.
Whereas this, you are Commander Shepard. You can choose whatever first name you want. No one's going to call you it, because everyone's going to call you Shepard, because that's your last name.
Yes, even your romance will just call you Shepard. Like, do you know their first name? Yeah, it's Commander.
It's Commander. I like that. It does help kind of make things feel more real.
BioWare does that a lot, so...
Who is the person in Andromeda? Ryder?
Ryder.
Ryder.
Scott or...
Do you not get to pick your own first name?
Don't recall. They have, well, I mean, the Shepherds have automatic names, so there's Jane Shepherd or
Oh I see their default names.
John Shepherd, maybe. I don't remember. Yeah,
you ever hear about the name thing in Fallout 4?
No. Oh yeah, that it recognizes some names and will read them out.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, there's this huge list of like 286 names that if you name your character that, your robot butler will refer to you as it.
Yeah.
Which is how I discovered the origin of the name Rokitansky.
Oh, that's Max's name from the Mad Max series.
Yeah. I was bored, so somebody had made a list of all the names it recognizes, which there's some. I'll have to pull it up, because there's some names in there that are just, why would you make the effort of adding that in there? But there's not a Brandon. There's not even a Brandon.
There's no Brandon.
There's no Brandon option.
I don't.
Y'all have Rokitansky, but you don't have Brandon? Anyway,
BioWare,
I like that.
That's kind of a staple thing with BioWare, though, is, like, you're a Shepard, and in Dragon Age Origins, depending on which kind of character you chose, you had a last name. Dragon Age 2, you had Hawk. And then in Dragon Age Inquisition, if you were an elf, you're Lavellan. If you're a human, you're Trevelyan. If you're a Qunari, I don't remember. I don't even know if you had one. And then if you're a dwarf... Oh, no, I don't remember that one either. I'm not very good at this.
You can name yourself Bacon.
Bacon.
I'm looking through this list. Yeah, Bacon is a name that he will acknowledge.
It was just statistically more likely that you would be named Bacon rather than Brandon.
I'm sorry, Biff?
Biff is from Back to the Future.
Bilodeau?
What is that?
Bilodeau. Bilodeau. That is a name they recognize. Bilodeau.
Okay.
There are 7 variations of Bobby. You can name yourself Boobies.
Oh.
Boobies. Booby and Boob.
Hey,
but
Brandon.
But no Brandon.
Do you know what game we're talking about today? Because it's not Fallout 4.
Right. Oh, that's going to be... I'm going to have fun with that one. Fallout.
But personally, I really like the Mass Effect series because I've always been a huge fan of particularly, like... spacefaring sci-fi.
Can I say 2 more names?
No!
Just 2 more.
We're not talking about Fallout 4.
Just 2 more.
Oh my gosh.
Furiosa is in here.
Okay.
The one I was looking for, we probably will need a content warning now. Fuckface. You can name yourself that, and your robot butler will refer to you as Fuckface.
This is information that was completely dire to the situation.
I will put this
away. Put it down! Okay, so, I like Mass Effect,
mm-hmm.
because it really kind of, I think more than anything about it, I really love its aesthetic.
I can
like
dig that, yeah.
The futuristic, clean-lined, I'm trying to think of how to say it, like, where all the species kind of come together, and they can communicate, and they can work with each other.
They cohabitate.
Kind of, yeah, so it's not like District 9 aliens where...
You're right. I also like how just because they're living together doesn't mean they get along.
Yeah, it doesn't mean harmony, but I mean, it's like kind of a reflection of Earth.
There
you know, you got different
coexistence.
People. Yeah, and there's all kinds of space politics and stuff, which I really like. And I think it influenced me a lot, even though I was writing a sci-fi novel and I had... a lot of it written out before I ever touched Mass Effect. But then I played through it, and I think a lot of it influenced my writing as far as, like, what the politics behind the different alien races were, how all of them got into the space, you know, interstellar scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just does all of that really well, and it does it in a... kind of vibrant way that pulls you in. I like discovering all the different quirks about different species and what they think of humans and how all of that comes together to form this, like, big, like, the Citadel space kind of thing.
Do you have a favorite race?
I don't think I have a favorite. One that I find really interesting is the Hanar.
Which ones are them?
They're like jellyfish-looking things, but I like them a lot because they have I don't want to call it a tradition, but there's a social construct that they have, which is everyone has 2 names.
Okay.
And one of them is the face name, and the other one is the soul name, which
okay.
I think a lot of people should adopt that kind of... construct, because it's like
when you meet someone or if you're doing like business with someone, then you trade face names.
Okay.
But if you get very close with someone to like a family sort of level, then you get to know soul names, which means you are important enough to know more about me than just what's on the surface.
Okay. This sounds very interesting. More or less like how the Japanese treat surnames.
Is it?
A lot of times, my understanding anyway, that in Japanese culture, you refer to each other by your last name. Because that's what's important, is your family name.
Mm.
Only when you're really, like, close with somebody do you refer to them by their first name.
That makes a lot of anime make more sense.
Yeah, it gets confusing sometimes.
Well, the Russians have, like, 8 different names. Because they'll have their, you know, first and last name or whatever. But then, like, within their family, they'll call each other different names, and, like, the shortened versions of their first names are weird, and sometimes they do different versions of their last names. It's like, wow. Because we were trying to read Crime and Punishment in my English class, and it was like, everyone had at least 3 different names. I did not know who we were talking about at any given moment.
Naming conventions are weird.
Yes.
Do you want to know what my soul name is?
Do you want to say that on the air?
Well, I was going to say face.
All right. We're moving on.
My favorite I have 2, but one of them more so than the other. So I guess you can only have 1 favorite if you like one more. Blah, blah. Pedantics. The Solarians.
I do like the Solarians.
I like them. But outside of the Solarians, I really like, I can't remember their name, the one that say what they're feeling because they can't express it.
Oh, that's the big elephant looking, Elcor.
Elcor?
I believe is what they're called.
I love them. It's just pleasant greeting.
Yeah, they don't have any inflection.
How are you today?
There's actually, that's not the first time BioWare has done that, because they did the Knights of the Old Republic games. And one of the characters, and I think both of the games, is an HK-47 assassin droid. Mm. And when that assassin droid talks, he says at the beginning of every sentence what his, like, intention is. Like, like the mood of the sentence. And usually it's like, exasperated, why do you want to do... And they have inflection, but they just have to say it first.
I learned about elephant... emotionless boys because
Elcor,
because you were telling me about them, because I was talking about Starbound. One of the races in Starbound, the robot race that stopped evolving past the medieval times.
Yeah,
they do that. They say their emotion before talking. Mm-hmm. So if you walk up, they'll be like, the guard will say, suspicious, don't do anything you would regret, or something like
that. Do you wish people talked like that normally?
No.
No?
I don't know how, like, that would... My job as a writer would be harder. If I had to write the emotions of the sentences. Would you need to write them, though?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would have to look into that.
Like, I feel like there'd be this whole grammatical series of rules behind it. And
yeah.
Just, no, thank you.
And it would be like MLA, but for your feelings.
FLA.
I don't...
What does MLA stand for?
I don't know.
Major Language Association?
Major League Association.
Major League, yeah. It's the Major League Association. They organize all of the other leagues.
Yeah. So one cool thing about Mass Effect that I like with its... So what most people like about aliens is the fact that they have to come from somewhere unknown. So there's still so much unexplored territory in space. We don't know what anything is ever. There's just so much out there, and so that's why so many, like, the one of the most widely spread, you know, I don't know if I call it superstitious belief, but, you know, the kind of you don't see it but you believe in it is aliens, because it's not difficult to think, well, we don't know what's out there. There very well could be other things that walk and talk and think like us.
Absolutely. It is quite, I wouldn't say quite, I don't know the statistic, but it's possible.
Well, that's the thing, is there's Fermi's paradox.
I love Furbies.
No, Fermi, which is that if it basically says if sentient life exists beyond our planet, there should be evidence by now. So it's saying that there are stars out in the galaxy or in space that are older than our sun, and there are solar systems older than ours or bigger than ours or whatnot, and that statistically there's probably other planets like ours that could possibly hold life like ours. But the amount of time that has passed, the question is, there should be evidence by now. Why is there no evidence?
I find this is kind of like the scientific equivalent to, why should I message them first if they could message me first?
Well, we can't yet. I don't know if we've tried, sent some messages out just into the deep, dark space.
We do have a satellite. I don't remember what it's called. They made this satellite capsule majigger that they just kind of put out into space. I don't know if it's hovering on the planet or just free roaming or whatever. But it contains what scientists determine to be the sum of all human knowledge.
Wow, that's
so,
a lot.
It doesn't use language except in the section intentionally designed to talk about language. A lot of pictures, it details humans and how they work, our culture and how it works. If I was an alien and I found this, I'd be like, wow, this is a pretty in-depth analysis of this weird race.
Yeah, that does kind of just give them all of our...
It's like giving them the password to humanity's MySpace page.
That would be... I would feel dangerous doing
I would feel
that.
Weird too, yeah. Scientists.
I think it's a little unfair to just assume that just because you think that another race is older, that they would have progressed as quickly as we have, or... Because we don't know.
Yeah, or just the idea of them being older. There is still also a chance...
We could be the oldest things.
Yeah, we are the old ones. And if we haven't gotten off of our planet that well, then...
It could be us that starts the Citadel...
Yeah, let us be the invading alien race.
Well, I would hope that if we were, we would not be, all District 9 about it and just have constant conflict.
I feel like our interplanetary diplomacy is not great in its current state.
Yeah, and I think I've had this conversation with you about ghosts as well, where, you can't prove they exist, but you can't prove they don't exist. And then I got to thinking, well, if we could prove that there's a way spirits are hanging out around here or going in between this world and the next, I would not want that to be common knowledge, because then someone would try to take advantage of that kind of link. And so it does worry
people
me.
People already take advantage of it, and we don't have it. Mystics and crystal ball readers and all them. Cold readers.
So
we somehow figured out that there is a spiritual world in which ghosts and whatnot inhabit, I halfway expect a Doom type scenario, and that we'll try to harvest that
I think
realm's
so.
Energy.
Or Avatar, that...
Airbender, or...
No, the alien movie, just Avatar, the blue people.
I'm sorry, you lost me. As ghosts?
No, I'm talking about as an alien planet. We went there specifically to harvest a type of metal or something. Unobtainium.
I was imagining,
thanks, James Cameron.
Unobtainium. I was imagining kind of like you were saying that when we die, we become the Avatar.
No. I'm talking about how, that's just kind of what has been our history with each other. So why wouldn't it be with other races? So
yeah,
I would hope that if we did eventually find sentient life beyond our own planet, we would let the scientists do the talking, but I very much fear that we will let the politicians and the military leaders do the talking.
And I think that's why people are hopeful that, peace would be found in other, alien races. It's because you'd think the scientists would be the one leading this charge, as opposed to military efforts.
Yeah.
We kind of strayed a bit away from the game.
No, but I think this is a
we are in the right direction, I'll give you that.
But that is why I like this game, and that's why I write the things that I do, because I do like to have this fantasy that if we discover aliens and whatnot, and even if we can't communicate with them right away, that we wouldn't just immediately go in guns blazing, that we would take it very slow and figure out, because in Mass Effect, humans are the newest ones to enter Citadel community.
Yeah, and they're giving a hard time for that.
Yeah, they're still trying to prove themselves, and the way that everyone kind of understands each other is, I think everyone has implants that automatically translate.
Oh, is that for it? You. Like the weird earworm from Hitchhiker's Guide?
Yes, very much like that. Except I think this is more electronic, kind of like the...
And less wormy.
Biotics, yeah. And because I've seen a lot of people...
Oh, that's true. Biotics are standard.
What happens if those just break down all of a sudden? All of a sudden, your friend is screeching at you and you don't know why.
Hey, Jimmy.
Oh no. But that's why you can understand anyone at any moment in the Mass Effect universe, because they all...
I didn't realize that. I just chalked it up to...
Video game.
They didn't want to have to bog down
with
that.
Well, they did give a little explanation for it. And that they gave an explanation for the... You know how I told you once that you're allowed to have, like, one unexplainable thing in your sci-fi?
Yeah.
Most people do the anti-gravity, or the...
The real gravity.
The fake gravity. The artificial gravity. However...
Pro-gravity.
Mass Effect is called Mass Effect because of an element... I think it's called Element Zero.
An element called Unobtainium.
I think it's Element something Zero. But that's what the Mass Effect relays have in them. And it manipulates mass, I suppose, through time and space. That helps you instantaneously travel to other places, but it's also what they use for faster than light travel and the artificial gravity. So this stuff manipulates mass and how it sits in space.
Okay.
To get you where you need to be. And so that's their explanation for it. And this stuff was older than the Citadel Council. This was built by the Protheans way back in the last Reaper War. And then all life that you see now developed from the ashes of what happened then.
Intense. I thought Mass Effect, mass as in a large amount of, and not like the physical matter.
No.
So this game will have a massive effect on the world or something.
It says that the Element Zero causes a mass effect, like an effect to your mass.
Gotcha.
And then they're called Mass Effect relays that transport you places. But the reason I have brought up Fermi's paradox is because this game decided to provide an answer to why we may not have discovered these things, or things had not discovered us before now. Because all this takes place in the Milky Way galaxy.
And Andromeda was in Andromeda.
Andromeda
galaxy. Is how they got away with having all the same ideas, but none of the problems of the previous games.
Right. So the Reapers are the answer. Is like every few thousand years they come around and wipe everything out, and then everything resets, which I was really mad because I had already been working on a sci-fi novel called Reboot, in which this exact thing happens. And then I was like, really? We have a video game series already about... So I quit. But that's their answer is, yes, maybe things have existed for millions of years, but they got wiped out long before they could ever reach us. And the only reason humans got into Citadel space was they discovered that one of the moons on Pluto, Charon, was a Mass Effect relay. And they discovered this because there was a Prothean outpost on Mars that they excavated. And the Protheans were the ones that created them. So that's how they explained humans jumping into the action.
Gotcha. Speaking of jumping into the action, how about we jump into our ad break?
Sure thing.
The wait is over, millennia in the making.
It's the best and loudest club to ever hit the Citadel.
Flux Nightclub is finally here.
Flux is more than just a bar.
With one-of-a-kind custom-designed lighting and visuals,
mind-blowing sound system, and a casino on the mezzanine.
Flux features the best Novarian rum in the galaxy.
And the hottest Asari bar staff.
You must be 21 or older to enter Flux.
Flux is located by the Upper Ward next to Market.
For more information, visit our codex.
That's fine.
Do you like that one?
I'm sold.
I did some good research on that one.
Will you go clubbing with me?
Only if it's at Flux. Can I tell you about Flux?
Yes.
As
I'm more familiar with Purgatory Bar, so...
As people who have listened to our show probably figured out at this point, our ads are references to whatever game.
Yes.
Flux is indeed a nightclub that you can visit in the Citadel in Mass Effect 1.
I don't know
about the other games. It's new in the first game. I went there, I discovered there was a casino up top, and I lost all of my money.
Good job.
Fun fact, however, there is no Asari bar staff. It's run by a human.
Cool.
One single female human bar staff lady. It's owned by, like, what are those short, fat people with kind of like the snouts?
Oh, those are the Volus.
It's owned by a Volus guy.
That makes sense, because they're the financial...
They're very mercantile.
Yes. They run the banks. They handle trading.
I've noticed that trend, yeah. Which, I would also like to make a formal statement. We here at the Cozy Co-op do not discriminate against Asari.
No, I actually really, really like Asari. Like I said, I never romance Garrus, but I've played Mass Effect 3 a few times. Not through the end. I just like to run around the Citadel. But I almost always romance Liara.
I am fascinated by the rumor, myth, whatever, that they look like whatever they want.
Why do you call it a rumor or myth?
Because
I thought that was like...
I can't find confirmation. Here's what I have found. In the DLC for Mass Effect 3, you will find three different races. A human, a Salarian, and... What race is Garrus?
Turian.
And a Turian. Sitting at a table for, I think, the Salarian's bachelor party.
Okay.
I use air quotes that our listeners can't see, because I guess Salarians don't really have same kind of marital traditions.
Well, most probably don't.
But it was a human... It's a Salarian equivalent to a human bachelor party. So they went to this club where they had an Asari woman dancing on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they all remark about... You know, how good this person looked, and the... Sorry, what was Garrus again?
Turian.
And the Turian remarked about how lovely reverse legs she has.
Ah.
And then the human's like, what are you talking about, man? This is one hot babe. And Salarian remarked about, I think it was her neck stalk.
Okay.
But it made me realize they all see her as their own race.
I guess this is why you can only ever play human, because if you played anything else, they'd have to change the Asari entirely.
And we know that the Asari have mind manipulative abilities, because they use it on you sometimes. And whenever they do use it on you, they look different. They become a much more pale.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes become black. And I believe that is actually... I'm starting to enter theory zone here.
Okay.
That's more of what they truly look like. I think they make themselves look darker skinned, white eyes, smaller eyes, because that is closer to the human's perception of beauty. But when they're using their mind powers, they are forced to kind of reveal their true nature, their true form, which is what they look like when they're doing mind
stuff. I just think it would be...
I've also...
Not super sustainable for an entire race to keep that up 24/7.
I think of the natural process.
Maybe.
In that they don't have to think about it. It's just their body does it for them. They manipulate other people's brains for them. There's a magazine, a lewd magazine, and you can see on the cover is an Asari woman, but they don't look like an Asari woman. They look like a jellyfish. They look like a blob.
Okay.
With tentacles. They don't look like anything I've seen an Asari look like before.
That's interesting. Yeah, how would photographs capture that?
Or, I don't remember what game, whether it's 2 or 3, you visit an Asari temple, and you find statues, but they look like the human form that you're used to. So, are the statues different because you're the human looking at them? Is that their actual natural form?
I don't know.
If your perception of non-living material... Also distorted, then why did that magazine have them in a weird shape?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but they've never answered that. And I want
to know.
Maybe
they don't have answers.
I am fascinated by the idea that I have no idea what this race is supposed to look like.
Maybe that's one of the many mysteries of the universe.
Indeed, maybe.
Something humans still will never understand. So, You want to talk about EA taking over BioWare?
Oof, EA.
So, I mentioned Andromeda, and that one got some pretty negative feedback. Uh-huh. Even worse than, see, Mass Effect 3 initial ending nobody liked, and so they had to do a new one.
Okay. Without spoiling it, it's because no matter what you chose, the ending was basically the same.
Yeah. So, then Andromeda came around, and it got bashed really, really hard, and I saw a lot of really unfair criticism of it. A lot of people...
Lord knows I understand that.
A lot of people were acting like it should have been a very simple matter to put more into it than was
how
in
come
it.
You couldn't fix this simple bug that causes me to explode whenever I can't think of a good example.
Something I think we especially like to keep in mind on this podcast is... there are games that do badly for bad reasons, and then there are games that do badly even though they tried as hard as they could.
For the greater good.
Not for the greater good, but just...
I understand. I do believe you in that. This game, I don't think it was done.
It wasn't, and here's the thing, is we all knew the problems going into it. When Mass Effect Andromeda was announced and people were following its progress, there were several times when they were transparently like, yeah... almost all of our writers left. Our team has been severely depleted, and then release dates got moved up, and there just wasn't time, and they didn't have the resources that they were supposed to have. It's not their fault, and it's not like they made a crappy game just to get money. That's not BioWare's fault. That would be EA's fault.
And BioWare has proven themselves capable of good things when given the time. Exposition. Inquisition was an amazing example of that.
Inquisition was really good.
Won multiple Game of the Year awards.
Mass Effect 2 came out in January the year it was released, and at that time, people were saying this is a good
contender. 2 are considered some of the best sci-fi games there are.
And they were saying that, you know, the second game, even though it came out in January, was a good contender for Game of the Year. The Knights of the Old Republic game that they released a long, long time ago was the reason... we bought an Xbox to begin with. It was Game of the Year and everyone was talking about it.
Absolutely.
So I think BioWare is good at making games. I'm pretty positive it's EA's fault.
Because this is what EA does. I acknowledge I am hashtag woke when it comes to EA's behavior in particular.
I've never liked EA, so this is very easy for me to believe.
I've been watching this closely, you know, journalism and all that. They buy a studio, a successful studio. It's doing well. It made something good. They pump it with resources, love, and support, get something else good out of it. Then they do that again, but with a little less resources, a little less support, a little less love.
Start ripping the carpet out from under them.
They do that again and again until there is nothing left for them to squeeze out. And then they kill them. Another really good example, a perfect example of this. I can't quite recall the studio's name. They made Dead Space. Have you ever played?
Well, I need to add that. No, but my dad has played a lot of Dead Space.
Dead Space, sci-fi horror game. Really good game. First game, amazing. People love it. Second game, good. Third game, absolute garbage. And it's because EA had bought them before then. Third game, they became this weird, action-y, poorly written, convoluted storyline. It had microtransactions.
Yeah.
You could buy better guns in a single-player game. People really did not like that. It was strong evidence that they were trying to milk as much money out of this as they could. Then, when Dead Space 3 finished, and then... did they have a fourth? That's the problem. I can't even recall, because at this point, the studio's dying, and EA is just waiting for the last bit of monetization to happen before they actually closed the studio down last year. That's what's happening now. They got something really good. They got BioWare. Gave it the support it needed. Now it's starting to squeeze on them, and we're seeing the rips and tears that's happening to their products by, like, with Andromeda.
Andromeda didn't get the attention that it needed or the resources that it needed. And I think for what they had, it still turned out pretty well. I think if you think about all the stuff that went on behind the scenes and the stuff that's still going on, that it's a miracle they got what they did out of it.
Absolutely. I think had they just been given the time,
they might have gotten...
They could have fixed the problem that existed. What's their up... BioWare is working on something new right now. Another EA game. Is it Anthem? Who's doing Anthem?
That's BioWare.
That is BioWare?
Yes.
That is going to be the Dead Space 3. We're seeing evidence now of them squeezing. Anthem's going to happen. It's going to have too much EA influence. People are going to hate it. Some people are even going to go as far as to like boycott it.
Mm.
And the failure of that game is going to cause BioWare to die.
It really, really, really worries me because I really want Dragon Age 4.
And
at this rate, we're not going to get it at all.
But the problem is, even if you do, you're not going to get a good one.
It's not
going to be. You're going to be as disappointed as Mass Effect fans were.
And you can say what you want about BioWare. I'm sure that on the publishing, you know, the publisher end of it, of things, there's a lot of extended universe that they expect you to buy into if you want to understand everything going on in the game. There was a big complaint for Inquisition, where many of the characters and subplots and even the rise of Corypheus was dependent upon DLC and novelizations and comic books and things that you know, just weren't in the main games. So that is their method of selling more stuff, is trying to pull you into that. But I think if you're looking for someone to blame for the decline of quality, that's probably going to be EA.
Another good example, which I'm surprised I've not yelled about yet, is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Right.
It's a good example of how they even gave the time. They let the developers make it good. And it is a good game. But then EA had their hand in there, required certain things, certain monetization aspects, and it ruined the game so hard that even though it's a good game, no one says you should play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with them, because you're supporting... It got so bad, they posted on Reddit, which they shouldn't have, EA. Somebody had asked them, why is it so hard to grind for something like Darth Vader, which everyone should be able to play?
Yeah.
And the response was, they want players to feel a sense of pride and accomplishment for achieving
that. They
just
want money.
That comment would later become the most downvoted comment on Reddit of all time. At like, I want to say it hit 800,000 downvotes.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's clear that people are upset with the practice that they've put. And they have no shame about it.
Mm-hmm. At the risk of sounding like a dirty communist, this is what capitalism does, is it breeds things like EA that will just completely take over things and chew them up and spit them back out. And I think that, I mean, I don't think we should completely overhaul everything we know about money, but I think we should just be more careful where we invest our money and stuff, and keep an eye out and call out this stuff when we see it. Because this is, I mean, like I said, I was really excited for Dragon Age 4. I'd heard some stuff about what it was going to be, and now I don't think we're going to get it at all, considering the destruction path that EA goes on.
This is
why I believe it so much, is because it is a pattern. You do see it in other game companies. Like, this has happened more than once before, more than twice before.
Oh yeah, there's a quote unquote graveyard list of
exactly. So
this,
you know, it. I think this is something to be aware of, and especially don't go yelling at the game developers.
Yeah, like, if they're certainly not.
If they're gonna go, like, we had an issue before with a different indie game developer who was being nasty on Twitter, and yeah, they deserved to be kind of dragged through the mud for it because they made a bad game, and then they only wanted people to say good things about their game.
Oh, are you talking about what I think you are?
Yes.
The thing that I was vaguely involved in?
Yeah, I'm not going to mention names, but like...
I couldn't even recall names, to be honest. But okay, Hold on.
That's something to criticize, but if a game is not good and there were a lot of bad situations going on with it, then, like, please don't yell at the devs. They work very, very hard and try to do what they can with what little they've got. Yes. So maybe, like, I think this goes for anything. Before you go to criticize someone or call them out on something, you need to look a little closer at the situation, see what's going on, because crying for somebody's head and it's the wrong target can really lead to some major...
And that's the problem, is...
issues with that person.
EA kills the studios.
Yes.
Because these games failed. It must be their fault.
Yeah, and then everyone's saying the devs did a crap job when it's not their fault.
But the problem is that people still... It's not easy boycotting. I actually do recommend boycotting EA content. I think... Well, not all of it, the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think the proper way to find a resolution here is if you don't buy games immediately, especially if they're by EA.
Sure.
You wait, you hear what people are saying, you find out, is there a major problem with this game? Is it because of practices that EA might have implemented, like microtransactions or DLC models? If it is, you can't buy that game.
Yeah.
Because that is how they will learn. If... That is what happened with Star Wars, is that when Battlefront 2 sold really bad, Black Friday happened, and there were still shelves of this game left.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening is they got rid of microtransactions. They rechanged their entire scaling system internally so that you don't have to grind so hard anymore. They got rid of some of their internal currencies. And now they finally have brought microtransactions back in. And we knew they would.
Mm-hmm.
But they're for only cosmetic items. They're no longer for gameplay-altering items.
That's good.
They've learned, and they're trying to... The problem is it's too late. This game has suffered. But if they kept that kind of mindset towards the rest of their games, that's good. Then we've won as a gamer.
It just worries me, because I know that the developers of BioWare games really do care deeply about making fun, good games. And I would be really, really sad to see BioWare games go, because I like to play them the most. I think that they have the best immersive qualities. I think that they do really, really creative world building, and they really lead to, you know, all of your decisions and character development and stuff, and the people you can interact with, who you make friends with. I think it's very immersive. I think it's very good for spinning your creative wheels. I don't think a lot of other games do it like BioWare does, and I would be very upset to see them go, because these are my favorite games to play.
Oh, yeah. Can I tell you about Respawn Entertainment?
Yes.
This is another EA story. Respawn Entertainment are the developers behind a game called Titanfall.
Oh, yes, you told me about this one.
Released exclusively in the Xbox One back when the current console generation started.
Mm-hmm.
It was an alright game. Titanfall 2, however, is basically what everyone was wanting in a modern shooter. You had more options, there were more giant mechs you could fight in, it was well balanced, it had a single player campaign, and it had future content updates for free for life. You never would have to buy DLC.
Nice.
And for all intents and purposes, it might have been the best game to come out that year. I can't remember what year. But it is a really good game. Problem is, it released the same week as Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty, I think, Advanced Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It released the same week as the two biggest shooters
Big heavy
on the market.
Hitters, yeah.
The biggest thing is the same week as Battlefield 1. You want to know who publishes Battlefield 1?
EA.
You want to know who scheduled the release date for Titanfall 2?
EA. They knew it was going to happen.
So the game did not do well. It did all right, but it did far worse than it should have because it couldn't compete. It was put in a really bad release time frame. 6 months later, word comes out that EA has purchased Respawn Entertainment, and now they own them.
Yep.
Almost as if, oh, perhaps they intentionally kicked them down
so that they could
buy them.
Yeah.
Get a cheaper price on them.
It's gross.
And now word is happening that Respawn is working on a Star Wars game, I think? I know exactly where this is going. I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bad. I hate having to watch it happen.
Yeah, and there's not a lot we can do about it either. It really sucks.
Continuing to talk about things that aren't actually
Mass Effect related, yeah.
You know who else has really good world building?
Who?
Bethesda.
Yeah.
People give them a hard time for making generic RPGs and whatnot, but I think that just comes with the popularity.
I think that they're close to BioWare in what they do.
I rather enjoy the worlds that they create with things like Skyrim and Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about those in their own episodes.
We're
going to have to move Fallout 4 farther ahead. I'm excited about it now.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, Mass Effect, really good.
Get it. Play it. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, it's just fun to run around with your alien bros.
Alien bros. What's the name of the big guy with four testicles?
That's Rex.
Are they the Krogan?
The Krogan, yeah.
Krogan? They're Krogans? I like their Rex. I like him, too.
They call it a quad, and they will say things like,
Shepard's got a quad.
Yeah. It means you got balls.
Well, yeah, because I have little romantic interest in the games. Like, I don't really feel like romancing anyone. But I just kind of want to have some bros.
Yeah,
so, like,
Rex
I
is
like
a good
the
bro.
Idea of me, Garth, and Rex just going around having a bro time.
There's Rex in the third game, and then there's a different one in the first two games. I can't remember his name.
Oh, is it not Rex in the first one?
It might be.
I want to say it is Rex.
Okay, there's a different one.
It sounds
one as
correct.
Well.
I've only played the first one.
I mean, I think it's worth getting at least one of the games.
You can probably find the first one for real cheap. If you like an action-packed shooter, it still has that, too.
This isn't
just, you know, talking simulator. You do fight. You upgrade your character with cool special abilities and stuff. You got guns
and whatnot.
Third game,
you can customize your guns.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, you can give them different ammo loadouts.
I think you can literally, like, take apart and rebuild guns in Andromeda. Like, you can change out stocks and whatnot.
Because everyone likes the gun customization so much in Mass Effect 3. And also, a thing I like a lot in Mass Effect 3 is you are preparing for a war. And so I mentioned this when we were doing our Dragon Age episode, but you get a lot of war assets, and you get people to help you, and it's optional. And if you wait too long to go do one of those smaller missions, it goes away.
I've had that happen.
Well, I like it a lot because it really does make you feel like a commander. And the more assets you get and the more people you get on your side, it really does feel really awesome that you're looking at this whole list of troops and scientist squads and stuff like that.
The army you've built.
It's very cool. I very much like going over to the war map and checking all that stuff out. So I like Mass Effect 3 personally. I think that's really fun. Plus my favorite thing is just running around the Citadel and going to the stores and the different levels and stuff.
I did enjoy I kind of had more fun with the side quests.
Yeah. I always put the main quests off as long as I can.
So speaking of building an army, how can you become part of the cozy co-op army?
Oh, sure. Okay. Housekeeping!
Yeah, this is my smooth transition into the end of our episode. I don't like cozy co-op army. What would a better thing for that be?
Cozy cooperation.
Oh, The
cozy cooperation. Cooperation.
Cozy corn cobs. Our followers shall be corn cobs.
Just do the housekeeping.
Okay. If you enjoyed this episode, or perhaps you enjoyed another episode more than this one, regardless of which, give us a review on iTunes and Google Play. Not Google Play. We don't have a review system there.
Yeah.
Stitcher Radio.
Yes.
That's where you can review us. Just go to Google Play anyway if you want to check that out, too. I'm not complaining.
You have all of this written down in front of you.
Yeah, but I don't read.
Okay.
You can also, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on at Cozy Co-op Podcast on Twitter, that is. We're also on Facebook under the same name. If you want to provide some feedback, you can, if you didn't do it through one of those previous methods, give me an email. Make it sensual.
No, you're not allowed to talk sensually to Brandon.
I heard the email. All right, make it business casual. Okay. Send me a business casual email to cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Our news we got from thelizardrock.com. You can find news there every morning, Monday through Friday, detailing whatever happened recently in video games and such.
Just popping in here before we go, we kind of forgot to announce the next week's game, and it's going to be Mega Man, the first game. So we'll be talking about that next Wednesday. So if you have any questions or anything to add, go ahead and send those in. Thanks. Bye.
I never know how to end these.
I end them.
Oh.
That's why.
Okay. Go ahead then. That makes okay,
yeah. Is it time to end the show?
Yeah.
Have we come to the end?
Yes. We've copped our corn.
We remember.
Oh my god.
It's that season, y'all. Okay. That's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.
You're always gonna do a throwback, aren't you?
Yeah.